Well, it's been a long time.
Why do you always laugh?
I was not expecting that. Real talk with the fam. Here we go. Let's jam. Listen up real quick. Gonna make your heart tick.
You always laugh when I say something to break the ice.
Well, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time, it has. Just a few things have happened.
Hi, everybody.
I'm Christina.
I'm Matt.
Welcome to Real Talk with the Roche Fam.
Well, what are we getting into first today?
Well, let's probably talk about what's going on from Texas.
So, we finally sold our house. It did not go for the price we wanted it to be, but it is gone. And that is a weight off our shoulders. There's a lot of frustration with all the things that broke and the market was so bad. And there's just so many issues with the house. So we're glad that's gone. A payment that we don't have to pay anymore. So financially it'll be better for us.
And the good news is we pretty much broke even with, I don't know, enough spare change to buy like a Chipotle bowl with guacamole. It wasn't like we are in the negative overall. So it didn't turn out how we expected, but it also wasn't the worst. I think towards the end, it got really exhausting because it was for sale for almost a year. And I was a little disappointed, actually a lot disappointed with the pool company because they were really good to us while we were there. And then once we were out of the house, the whole pool turned green and they kept telling us, oh, we're working on it, we're fixing it. So we ended up paying another pool company to come in and take care of it. And they fixed it magically in 3 hours.
Yeah.
When it was literally green for 4 months. And I don't know, I just don't like being lied to. And so there's no way they were servicing the pool. We ended up getting our money back for some of the service that was not rendered despite being told otherwise, but not physically being in the state since we're in California now. It's really hard to manage things when you're not in the same vicinity that you could drive to. So that chapter's closed. You want to share the other news, which I'm sure many people are already aware of?
Oh, yes. We had a new child. Her name is Cordelia, and she is the sweetest little chubby monkey that there is.
Yeah. She's much different than Emerson. Emerson was a little fairy princess, skinny queen for the first year and a half of her life. She still is. And Cordelia, at 2 months, was already clocking in at 20 pounds, size 5 diapers, which is bizarrely opposite of our first kid. I just imagine they'd be like the same. And they could not be further from each other in personality and size.
And temperament. I think, so Emmy was always like really frustrated. I don't know if it was just because she wanted to do more, or I really don't know what caused her to be so frustrated, but it made things really hard to handle her as a baby, where Cordelia is just, she's just a go with the flow, like she's a chiller. And it's definitely a totally different experience from one baby to the next, which I think we're both happy that in the order that we had them is like we had the hard one first, and the second one is more of like a breeze, because it having two and then having the baby and a toddler, and the baby's like very frustrated, would be much more difficult to handle.
Yeah, Cordelia's very mellow. She's kind of just a chiller. She's happy. She really hardly cries. I mean, there's a lot we could dig into that and what I think maybe we could have done differently with Emerson. You can't go back, but you learn as a parent what works and what doesn't. We have zero bottles in this household at the current time, which I'm so happy about, because we have been washing bottles since Emerson's entrance into this world, and we broke her of the bottle habit, and I couldn't be more thrilled. I'll probably continue to breastfeed as long as I can with Cordelia purely because I'm lazy and I don't want to wash bottles. The labor was a party. She came very quickly.
She wasn't even there. Yeah. So
are you talking about Emerson or are you talking about
Ellie?
Oh.
No, both of them. The doctor wasn't there for both of her. So Christina, our nurses were about to go on a lunch break. And Christina's like, I have a sensation that I feel like I have to pee and I have a catheter in. So that doesn't make sense. And the nurse is like, oh, let's just check you one more time before we go to lunch. And they checked and they're like, oh, yep, there's a head there. And so Ellie was ready to come out and the doctor was still at the doctor's office. So she had to drive over, which it was 25 minutes, but it was still the second time that the doctor was literally not in the hospital when the baby was ready to come out.
I'm really grateful I handle labor and delivery relatively painlessly. I am definitely an epidural girly, so I was not in pain. And then the baby came within half an hour, which was delightful for all of us. It was pretty much what we expected. We upgraded hospitals this time, which was nice. We had an ocean view, and I do want to talk about Cordelia's name because we have Emerson Ocean and then Cordelia, which
Cordelia May,
and Cordelia means daughter of the sea or heart of the ocean, depending on which language you're looking at. And we really struggled with a name for her. Actually, we're going to name her Bonnie Blue. I loved the name Bonnie. And I'm at work one day and I shared the name of the coworker and my coworker was like, are you aware that there's an OnlyFans model named Bonnie Blue? And I was like, nope, did not know that. And then all of a sudden,
She's everywhere.
I'm stunned.
She does some very wild things with what she does. And she goes famous immediately after we were locked in on this name. And it took us like 4 months to pick out this name. So we were so excited that we locked in. And then this all happens. And we're like, well, we can't do this now because we're not naming her after a adult star.
I mean, like, we were so locked in. I made a stocking that had embroidered names for our whole family, including Bonnie. And Cordelia is very Cordelia to me now. I can't imagine her being named Bonnie, which is sad because I really liked the name Bonnie.
I could see Bonnie. Like, I was so locked in on Bonnie. I could still see her being a Bonnie.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe there's a future Bonnie. I don't know if we're having more kids or not. Probably not. 80% not. 20% questionable. But I think little Ellie Bean is a delight. And so we're happy to have her. And that kind of leads into two heavier topics that we wanted to talk about today. So with the welcoming of our second baby, pediatricians are, you know, always on the forefront of our mind. We've gone to the same pediatrician for Emerson as we did for Ellie. We're not going to say who they are, but essentially when we had the baby, Cordelia, we decided to hold on vaccinating her just as we were figuring out what was right for us, what was right for our kids. And the initial thing we landed on was delaying until we knew more information. So when we shared this with our pediatrician, he's very nice. We have, again, been with them for 2 years, and he basically, as politely as he could, said, we really enjoy having you here, but if you're going to delay, we can't support that, and you have to sign this paperwork, and we can't see you anymore, which was really disappointing. And at the same time all this was happening, Matt had surgery, so I was taking the girls by myself to the doctor, and Matt had a stronger sensation and inkling towards being cautious of vaccines than I did.
My backstory, my brother is not a doctor, but he is a very, 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 very intelligent nurse that could be a doctor. My dad was a fireman. My other brother was training to be a nurse. My family comes from the medical field, and I took a lot of their advice, and they gave me a lot of books, and they gave me a lot of information that I think was interesting, and I trust my brother a lot. And I think that, because I got vaccines when I was a kid. I got vaccines as an adult. I didn't know anything about this until I started having kids. Even when he had his kids, I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't know anything. I didn't question it. I was literally just like ignorant. And once kids started coming into my life, my kids, I started asking questions and talking to people and looking up information and just seeing what all this is about. And I came to the conclusion that there's a lot of controversial things with vaccines, and we don't know all the truth right now. And I know everyone's, oh, follow the science. It's true. It's been done for years. There's so much that is hidden and that you have to go in depth and like deep into research to find out some of the truth. And once you find it, it's really eye-opening. So we as a couple decided to delay. And I think that's where because Christina was on a different page than I was. She was like, let's vaccinate. I want to protect them. I don't want anything to happen to them. And I was the opposite. I was like, I don't know which ones we should take because I don't know which ones are actually necessary because I know that they give about 70 in the first 2 years of life. And I just think that's too much when your body is developing, like your brain and your organs. And I don't think a bunch of chemicals need to be shot up immediately into a little baby. That's where I think that's where we're at right now. And then you can do what your thoughts are.
I think it's important for us marriage is let's agree on these core like pillars, whether it's religion, finance, politics, and then all the micro things can be a little bit different. So this wasn't something we had initially talked about a lot, but once we have kids, it's literally directly in front of you. And it extends even now that I understand more. I wish I had thought about this before I was even pregnant, because being pregnant, like you get shot with the Tdap, you get the flu shot. They recommend a lot of different things throughout your pregnancy for prenatal care. And again, we're not doctors. I'm not trying to push anything. I'm just wanting to share what our experience was. So what we had decided was we're a two yeses or it's a no family. And since Matt was a no and I was a yes, we landed on the delay until we knew more. We circled the drain on this for about 6 months because Matt had his feelings and I kept saying to him, I need you to give me information. If this is what you feel strongly about, give me the studies. He had a hard time articulating that, which made it hard for me to agree to it just because I need to see the truth. And the truth to me is, are there studies? Are there things in the CDC, like guidelines? What does that look like? So my initial conversation with the pediatrician, I asked him, I said, my husband's hesitant for us to get vaccines. So we're choosing to delay because if we do it, we can't go back. But if we delay, our kids aren't in school right now. It's not going to harm anything. I'm okay with the risks of what that looks like. And the doctor couldn't give me any information. I was hoping he'd give me pamphlets or information about the compatibility of combo vaccines. And that was really where my hesitancy started to build, because at the face of it, I couldn't find any information about combo vaccines. And is there studies that show if we put five vaccines in one, are they compatible with each other? There's literally no studies. And when I asked my pediatrician, he couldn't answer me. He just pointed me to this database, the CDC website. Okay, that's great. When I look at it, I can't find it, which is why I'm asking. And that was the last appointment I had there. So I found a second pediatrician and they supported the parent's choice and they supported delayed vaccine schedules here in California. So when I went, I was really hopeful and excited. It took us a month to get in. We got in, and as soon as I was in the office, I wanted to understand what their view was. And the doctor that I was recommended, they had, I don't know, at least a dozen doctors in the practice. And they recommended me this specific doctor because she was very knowledgeable on the topic. And so again, I was hopeful and I went in and we did the physicals and she started talking about vaccines and which ones both the girls should get that day. And I said, well, I was hoping to discuss what a delayed vaccine plan would look like for our kids since they're not going to be going to school for the next 2 years. Emmy wouldn't be if we did put her in school. And immediately she starts telling me how I need to find the right doctor for me. She was very defensive and she said, well, I can't work with you if you're not going to make a schedule for your vaccines. And I said, I'm willing to work with you. My mother-in-law was with me, and she even said, I was being very polite. I was just asking questions. I was not combative. I just asked. I just need the paperwork so I can bring it home and talk to my husband about this. And what the vaccine, what would you recommend as a vaccine schedule that we should give to our children? And which one should be first? What should we prioritize? And the first thing off the bat she talked about was a combo vaccine, because she doesn't like poking kids multiple times. So when I questioned her about, you know, the compatibility of the different vaccines, she also could not give me information on that. And I said, I would rather have individual vaccines administered to my children, even if that means more pokes, if I know that they're going to be delayed. And she said, it's fully dependent on what schools your kids go to. And I explained to her, we're not, you know, at this point, we're considering homeschooling. So if it's a little bit delayed, we're okay with that. Can we start to talk about what a plan is? And instead of her addressing any of my questions, she immediately was defending the combo vaccines, but she kept saying, I don't want to give the multiple shots to a kid if I can just give them all five vaccines at once. And that was when I pressed her. I said, okay, I understand that. Is there like some printouts that you could give me that I could read about them so that I can better understand what I'm giving to my child? And again, she kept diverting back. Need to find a doctor that's right for you. I kept, you know, saying, giving her praise. I have been recommended you by like your pediatrician's office to come to you so I could talk to you about these things. And she kept saying, the information's all on the CDC website, so you need to do your research and da 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 da. And I explained to her, I said, I'm in corporate real estate. I have no medical background. And so I'm looking to you for guidance because I don't know where to look. Like, I'm not a scientist. I don't understand these things. And I'm just desperately asking somebody to give me information that's not just the open portal of the CDC, because I've tried. And if you open up any of those medical journals, some of them are like 50 to 100 pages long. And as someone who doesn't have any medical background, I guess I was just shocked. That's now two pediatricians that couldn't give me information. And I walked away from that. It was really interesting because my mother-in-law was really excited about this pediatrician. She felt that pediatrician was one of the first that was even willing to work with us to create a schedule. Despite I had asked multiple times, like, I would love to create a vaccine schedule that I could bring to my husband. She was essentially saying that I needed to book a second appointment to sit down with her. And just to clarify as well, when she came into the room to do the check for the kids, I asked her, I said, do you have additional patients? Because I want to be respectful of your time. And if now is not a good time, I can schedule a second consultation appointment. And she said, oh no, I have no other patients. So we can take as much time as we need. But as soon as I started asking the questions, it was like I felt rushed. I felt rushed out of the room. Again, she wouldn't help me build the schedule. It was just very strange. So, you know, I thought it was interesting. My mother-in-law had a different take just because of her experience with three children and now having eight grandchildren. It told me that a lot of these doctors are not able to work with kids. If that was the most a doctor had worked with her, like that she had experienced, that's kind of shocking to me. I walked away from that appointment being really upset because who do I talk to if I can't talk to my own child's pediatrician about these questions? It feels like I'm having to rely on myself. So there was one doctor that they had mentioned. I had heard this name at both of these pediatricians. They essentially said, don't go to this doctor. We get all the patients from this doctor. And as counter as this sounds, I immediately said, you know, I think this is the doctor I need to call and ask questions. So finally, we went to this third doctor. They couldn't even get anyone into that office until March of next year. So I asked them to put us on a cancellation list. So if anyone cancels, then call us and we'll go in. And I ended up going into this office, and they are actually like a no vaccine office. They want to, you know, like depending on the family, I don't even know that they would administer a vaccine, but they believe in, especially like the first 2 years of life, the blood brain barrier is not fully developed. They don't want to cause undue, you know, problems with the child if it's not needed. So when I went in, it was a much different experience. They did very in-depth physicals with each child, checking Emerson's ability to communicate, checking where her development as far as her age is, how she could respond to adults. Does she take directions from me? Does she take directions from a stranger? How high can she jump? It sounds like, oh, okay, well, she's performing. But I felt like they actually were looking at my child to see, is her cognitive ability where it is meant to be? And instead of just, what is wrong with your child? Do you have any reason why we should put them on medication? Because that's how the other doctors felt to me. So I think those experiences really kind of shook my feelings about, do these doctors care about my children, or are they just trying to push something on us? And it's pretty known at this point, a lot of these big pharma companies make money off of X amount of vaccines. And if they meet certain milestones, the doctors get bonuses. Now, I'm not saying that these doctors are inherently bad or that they're not looking out for the best interests of the kids that are in their practice, but I think it's a valid question to take a look at. So from there, again, I'm not a medical person, so I don't fully understand. I will plug Candace Owens' Shot in the Dark. It's a members only. It's not even available on YouTube. But if you're a parent looking to understand, what does this all mean? And what shot should I be giving my kids? She has a series that talks about the full vaccine schedule for children. And it's broken out by each vaccine. And she looks at the medical information. And she can give a much better full look at the what each one means. Yeah, the description, the side effects. And I would say overall, my takeaway with the vaccines is, I want to do what's best for my kids. And for right now, that means no vaccines. And I will also say, it's odd to me that the doctors are claiming your vaccine schedule is based off of which school that your kid goes to. And it's actually shocking to me that schools are dictating what vaccines what healthcare my kid gets. And that feels frightening to me as a parent. So that's where that story lands. Did you have anything else?
I think it's crazy when the first year of life, you just look at all the stories of what all the things you can't give your kids. Like, you can't give them honey. You can't give them this and that. It's like, you can't give them just basic food, but you think that shooting them up with toxic chemicals is okay. I just don't understand where it all went so haywire. And that, I think the other thing that blows my mind is that everyone, not everyone, let's say a majority, at least of America, is so on board and just follows blindly to whatever anyone says. It's like, there's no critical thinking. There's no looking at the actual science and the effects of what they're doing. I'm just shocked that like we're looked at as like outcasts for what we're doing, and people shame people like us for our decisions. And I think it's just really, it's a very interesting time to be alive, and I'm okay with being the outcast, and I'm okay with trusting God and trusting that He designed us to live on this earth and find natural like ways to take care of ourselves. So that's really where I'm at, is just trusting God and that He has a plan and design for us.
And a lot of people will doubt that, and they'll say, well, what if God's design was to die or whatever? And I don't think we are blindly having faith in this choice. I'm going to give actually a couple examples very, very briefly. When babies are born, they put an antibiotic ointment on their eyes. And if you look into what this is, it's supposed to be to prevent gonorrhea being contracted in the infant. And they claim a couple other things. And what I find interesting, one, a 2-minute-old baby, their gut health is just developing. So putting antibiotics anywhere near a baby is going to destroy any good bacteria that is building in their gut. Like, they are so small, so little. Second, I don't have gonorrhea. I don't have any STDs. Why are we putting this ointment on a newborn baby that we know for a fact I do not have any STDs. It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense, on top of the fact that colloidal silver has been known to cure, you know, this problem that used to be a problem. And I find out the history of this antibiotic ointment is actually these big pharma companies could not patent metal. Like, it cannot be patented, so they can't make money off of it. So magically, this antibiotic ointment came out that they can make money off of, and that is alarming to me. If you really want to, I think the entry to questioning vaccines is looking at the polio vaccine, because I'm going to try and get these dates correct, but I may be off by a little bit. But in the 1940s, DDT, which was a chemical pesticide supposed to be preventing bugs from passing along this polio virus, from 1940s to the 1950s, polio was starting to come out. At the same time, they're spraying children while they're eating with this DDT. On top of, they had wallpaper that was manufactured with DDT in it, which is being told, put it in your nursery so that the polio virus doesn't get to your kids. They find out at the end of the 1950s that this DDT that is being sprayed on the crops, so not only are you being sprayed with it directly, you're eating it. And if you doubt what I'm saying, you can look up videos of kids swimming in a pool being sprayed with DDT, adults and children.
Go ahead.
So in 1940s is when DDT was widely used during the World War II to control malaria, typhus among soldiers and civilians. And then the person that created this chemical got the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine for his discovery. 20 years later, concerns grow over environmental and health effects, famously highlighted in Rachel Carson's book Silent Spring in 1962. 10 more years later, the U.S. bans DDT for agricultural use, and many other countries follow.
So in the 1950s, all these children were getting paralyzed, and they were tracking the quote-unquote polio rise and outbreak, and it was something like 40,000 children and adults or whoever it was had contracted polio, which could be asymptomatic or it could be the paralytic type of polio. And then they had 1,800 children die in a certain time frame. And so the numbers I can share, I have a screenshot of the actual numbers from the CDC. What's really interesting, at the same time that they banned the DDT, they find out that DDT causes paralysis. Isn't that interesting? On top of that, at the same time that they banned the DDT and magically made this polio vaccine, they changed the numbers for how they statistically counted people with polio. So essentially, they were counting anyone who had paralysis. It didn't matter if it came from polio or I don't know what. They counted the numbers before they banned DDT at the same time that they created the vaccine. They changed the way that they counted the metric so that they had to actually look for the polio virus before counting it towards a polio number. So magically, this is why I'm starting to question science, because isn't it interesting that they counted all of these paralytic cases as a polio outbreak, and then magically when the vaccine happens, all the numbers drop significantly? At the same time that they're not counting everyone who's paralyzed when this DDT product, which causes paralysis, is banned. So why are we still, and now polio was eradicated in 1979, I believe is the year, which, so that's a 30-year period that, yeah, look, things were misunderstood. They didn't understand the product, the DDT product, but it feels a little shady to me that they went about the numbers a certain way, and then magically this vaccine works. Okay, we eradicated it. Now, to this day, you still have to get the polio vaccine despite it never being around. People will say, well, you have to prevent it from coming out again and da-da-da-da-da.
Herd immunity.
I don't know. I just think it's questionable to me. It's very questionable. And on top of that, what Matt was saying about when you're pregnant, you'd be very careful about what you eat. You can't eat fish. You can't do any of these things because it may impact the fetus. Now, the second the baby's alive, okay, let's inject them with a mercury-based vaccine. And the mercury, they change the name of it. It's got some weird scientific name that I can't even pronounce. And that's what they use, the preservative that they put in this. Now, they say it's trace amounts, but if you look at the numbers, it's like a 0.0 something. If we were so concerned about me eating fish, why are we then, as soon as this baby is out, giving them 8 vaccines that all have mercury in them? It doesn't make sense to me. So anyway, those were the two gateway items that made me question what we should give to our children, was the polio vaccine and the antibiotic ointment for her eyes. So I would just encourage parents to take a look. I don't think you should take our advice. I think you should look into it for yourself and decide based on what you read and understand is the best decision for your family. And I don't think government should be forcing that on us directly. I think that should be our choice. So anyway, it coincides with the last story we wanted to talk about. So about 2 days before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I had posted on Instagram on our family page questions about the vaccines. I wanted to understand what other parents were doing. Shockingly, I had more messages about people not vaccinating their kids than I had ever imagined. And it's amazing to me that nobody wants to talk about it because, again, you can be just exiled from society for having that opinion, trying to make the best decisions for your kids. So I feel like that kind of conversation stopped 2 days after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and that really impacted our family. So I don't know, Matt, I think it's a good perspective if you share your initial feelings from when it happened.
Yeah. So I understand that a lot of people thought that he was a racist, fascist, blah, 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 blah. A lot of those people didn't watch his 3-hour videos every single week, which Christina and I did watch all of his long videos. He was not a hateful person. I have no idea where they're coming up with, like, where I know they take little clips of his past 12 years of him being in the spotlight of what he's doing, and they'll take one little clip here and one little clip there and they post it and they're like, listen to what he says in this one little clip. He's a horrible person. And it's just not true at all. I think the thing that hit me the most is that he's 1 year older than I am. He's got 2 kids like I do. He was a father. He was a Christian man. He was a conservative man. And I just thought it was shocking. It hit home to me because it felt like it was almost like someone shooting someone like who I am, and for nothing, for his beliefs. And it was just horrible. I think any type of shooting is horrible. I don't know. It was sad and horrible. And I just I don't like where this country is headed. I don't like what is happening in the world right now. And I don't know what to do to make a difference.
Yeah, just to add to that, the weight of that happening for us was not just mental, it was physical. I've seen Matt cry maybe twice in our 4-year existence in each other's lives, and we both cried for 2 days. I think it was heavy for us to the point that Matt made about it felt like it was someone like him being killed. And I felt the same thing because we have always been very cautious about what we share in fear of me losing my job or social repercussions for sharing our opinion. And out of all the political talking heads, Charlie felt grounded to me. He was very clear that, you know, I don't believe he's a Christian nationalist. I think there's a lot of people who think that. I think there is something to be said that our founding fathers did create this country with a general joint belief of Christianity, but they were very clear, church and state are separate. And I think there are certain topics that we have to be cautious for when we're making choices. I'll share my belief about abortion, I would never personally get an abortion, but I also believe your body is your choice. I don't think care should just be fully eradicated. Do I think it's murder? Unpopular opinion. Yes, I don't think the size or the location of this human is relevant to when does its life begin.
So I feel the same way. I think if it came down to a situation where the mother's life is impacted from the pregnancy, I can understand it from that perspective. What I think the problem is in America is that people are using it as a form of birth control, of like they go out and sleep with someone that's not their partner, like their husband or girlfriend, whatever, or boyfriend, whatever it is. And since they made a mistake, they do what they do because they made a mistake doing that. And I think that's the problem. I personally, I have my views of how it can be changed a little bit, but I don't think anyone will really be on board with that. I think it be a very costly surgery would make people think twice about what they're doing, as people understand the problem is there's no consequences to it. They're like, people can just go get it done and it's probably free for most people and that's it. That's where I think the problem is. If you made this surgery a $10,000 surgery that's not covered by insurance, I think people would think twice about what they're doing before.
And I think that is in alignment with what my belief is, which is the current state of where we are politically on this topic in particular completely ignores personal accountability. I think there are a lot of choices that can be made before the point of conception that leads to an abortion. I think that we have the choice to take birth control. We have the choice to abstain from sex. We have the choice to make choices. Yeah. And I don't think that abortion should be option one. I think there should be, you know, discipline with each person and accountability for ourselves, because it's, again, it's a complicated issue. So why am I bringing this up? Because I felt like Charlie explained, if you look at some of his arguments about what about those random, very small times when either it's pregnancy with rape or incest or whatever the situation is, where it's not just, oh, I went and slept with someone and got pregnant. Okay, here's this horrendous situation. He made a really good point. If you looked at a scan of an abortion, or not an abortion, of a fetus, an embryo, a baby at 20 weeks, of a baby that was conceived in rape or a baby that was conceived in like a loving household that baby is wanted, you can't tell the difference. And I think that's a really important point. All life should be protected. And I think that we should have more accountability for ourselves and our actions than just jumping to abortion. But again, like, that's why I vote for freedom of choice and why I believe people should be making those decisions on their own. I agree with Matt that it shouldn't be as easily accessible, because that's what's pushing everyone to use that as their first choice, because it is free, because it is this. And then that's not even talking about the mental health repercussions of what can happen. It's not talking about, maybe this woman wants to have a baby later in life. What if that procedure has now done something to her? It is a known fact that this can cause reproductive issues. So we're not experts, but it really hurt watching Charlie, who I felt had a relatively sound argument and was willing to talk to people. And he was never combative or argumentative. He listened. And I don't think there's really any other voice that does the same thing that he does. And for me, that's why it was really emotional, because here we are now sharing more of our opinions, because I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in sharing ideas, and I believe that we should be talking about this. If you feel differently, please message me. I don't mean to be cliche with change my mind, but I'm open to having these conversations. And it really disappoints me when people just block or name call or this or that behind their screen.
I have had hundreds of people unfollow me because of having conservative views. And none of them want to talk. I try to talk to as many as I can. And they just don't want to talk to me. They just want to call names. One lady is like, "You have white privilege." I'm like, you really don't even understand where I come from, because I don't have white privilege. My family comes from Mexico. My grandma came here as an immigrant. So it's just funny that people just want to name call without knowing who you are or anything about your history, and they just unfollow and get, it's just, let's just have a conversation. I have one friend, I won't name her name, but she has different, totally opposite opinions than I do, and we have had such a good conversation the past couple weeks, ran here on and off, and I want more of that. Like, she respects my opinion, I respect her opinion, and we both try and find a middle ground. And if we don't find middle ground, this country won't heal. And it's conversations like this where you can try and find something where you both agree or you both feel a certain way and try and agree together. And I just want to say, at least I have one friend on the other side that I can talk to, and we can try and at least have some conversations that are productive. But out of hundreds of people, I have only had one conversation.
And I think that's a good segue to the conclusion of why we have felt so emotionally and physically depleted. And the word I've described this last month is just, I feel weary. I feel spiritually weary. I feel physically weary. I'm sad and heartbroken, because I'm sure a lot of people have looked into what's going on with the Charlie Kirk case. Politically, I think what I have come to realize is there are powers beyond us that are trying to divide the right and the left. And I think more than anything, now is the time when we need to unite for a common goal together and not attack one another. The thought of civil war has circulated, and it scares the heck out of me, quite frankly. That's what I think they want. That's how we divide this country. That's how we lose control. And I believe in America. I love the country we're in. I love the idea of what it stood for when it was created, and I want to get back to that. I don't know that the choices, quite frankly, that we've been given to vote for are going to heal that. And I really hope in the next 10 years of our generation and our life, the right and the left can unite so that we can actually have candidates that are not bought out, that are not pushing an agenda that's not our countries. That's really what it boils down to. America first. I think that's the biggest revelation I've come to. We should be taking care of each other, our neighbors. And once we get this country repaired, then we can start helping others.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that is just really sad, is that they choose the most famous people that are controlled by the bureaucracy to be our candidates. And we only get one choice. If you're conservative, you're not going to vote left. If you're left, you're not going to vote right. And then we're just given whatever we get. And it's usually the worst candidates that we can choose from. And the ones that actually could make a difference get just left in the dark, because we only get two choices. And I think that's the biggest problem we have right now. Is personally, I vote right, but I'm very unhappy with what the president's on both sides, including the right, are doing and have done. I am not a diehard on what president, even if there is a right president, I'm not a diehard. If they make poor choices, I'm going to call it out, and I'm going to be aware that they might have different intentions. And then I'm going to go into detail of like, why is this person doing the things they're doing? And it all comes down to the same conclusion. I won't talk about it on here, but it all comes down to, they are paid for, both of them, both sides. And no matter how much you hate the other side, they're both cut from the same cloth. And all we can do is try to find somebody that is not a part of this agenda and this bureaucracy. And hopefully in the future, we can figure that out.
Yeah. And I'll just say too, I want the Epstein files released. And I want to know who killed Charlie Kirk, actually. And I also think we should stop enabling leaders of the world that are okay with incest and are okay with pedophilia to run government. I am really horrified for what our leadership is representing. And I also don't agree with candidates being shoved into place without a democratic agreement, without, I'm really sad. All that to say, I don't think politics will solve really anything, quite frankly. I do believe fully in serving your communities, helping those around you, and I think that's how we heal. But I don't know.
I think the best thing that people can do, I know this is not for everyone, obviously, but I think having a little piece of land, having your own food, having your own community, being surrounded by family is going to be very healing to this country. I think we are shoved with so much processed chemicals and stuff in everything day to day. There's also our phones. We got 5G. There's so many things that are bad for our health, our brains. And the best thing that I think we can do is make our own food. Try and, this is for me too, I need to work on, we need to get away from our phones. We need to get away from, as much as we can, get away from processed food as much as possible. It's so hard because it's so easy to get to and it's so cheap.
And getting back to preventative maintenance for our lives and not reactive care. Like, we shouldn't be, oh, let's just manage these symptoms and problems. How about we take care of ourselves and be strong, like physically, mentally, instead of, oh, I'm broken and everything's wrong. Let me just take some medicine. Let me put a Band-Aid on it. I'm hopeful.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't really know where we're going with this, but I think we hope to get to a cadence again of posting like a podcast like once a month. Life is really busy and crazy right now, and I go back to work soon. But please feel free to message us if you disagree with anything we said or if you agree, because if no one's listening to this, then we're just not going to do it. But Uncle Brent's probably listening.
I think that's all I got to say.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.